Reading from the first chapter of James, verse 17 through 27. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the God of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of God's own purpose, God gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of God's creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your soul. Be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they are like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. After recently completing a sermon series based on knowledge and actual practice gained in and through an understanding of Celtic spirituality, I'm going to be beginning another sermon series of sorts this morning. This one, though, is based on the assigned lectionary epistle readings for the next 5 Sundays from the New Testament book of James. And James has become one of my favorite books in the Bible, primarily because it is more practical than it is theological. In fact, a case can easily be made that James is more concerned with what we do as a community of faith than what we believe as individual Christians. And as a moral discourse, steeped in the tradition of wisdom literature, his letter involves the ethical implications of what we believe we are called to do in being followers of the ways of Jesus. And I like the style of this book as well. It is very blunt and to the point, comprised of simple truisms and admonitions that everyone basically already knows. Things like, be quick to listen, be slow to speak, and be slow to anger. And James loves to state the obvious. In fact, if the entire Bible were like the book of James, we wouldn't really need preachers. For who needs a preacher to simply remind people of what they already know? But therein lies the catch. Knowing and doing are two very different things. And that's the whole point that James is trying to make. In other words, simply knowing what to do is not as important as doing what we know to do. Or stated in what I think is one of the most important verses in the entire Bible, James 1:22, be doers of the word and not merely hearers. The Bible, then, is more than some kind of an intellectual problem for us to try and solve, as fun as that is, especially as progressives who are always seeking new understandings and interpretation, and theological understandings. For the scriptures want more from us than to simply be understood. They want themselves to be put into action. Saying that, it is right and necessary to ponder
think, consider, reflect, dissect, question, and even debate what we read and hear in the Bible. That's a very important and vital part to a life and journey of faith, and we know that. Ultimately, however, what the Bible really wants us to do is to get moving, to get into the act, and to live out the lessons from the text. And though Jesus was often called a teacher, what he actually said was, "Follow me." Jesus was concerned with what we call discipleship, the living out of our faith, putting it into action, not just mere intellectual agreement with what he said. And the rest of verse 22 states, "Be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves." Well, William Willimon, former chaplain of the Duke University Chapel, once stated in a sermon, "We deceive ourselves into thinking that we have done the faith when we have merely listened, reflected, pondered, and agreed." He goes on to state, "What we profess is not as important as what we are able to perform. Beliefs must be embodied, enacted, in order to be real." Or as I quoted from a sermon a few weeks ago, "We must turn our creeds into deeds." Now that's where our typical Sunday morning service of worship can actually get us into trouble. For it is a fact that a good deal of worship, especially worship as Presbyterians, is non-participatory. William Willimon rightfully states, "Church often becomes the place where we come, sit back and say, 'Okay, preacher, choir, organist, get into it. Come on, fill me up.' To put it another way, if a service of worship could be compared to going to see a theatrical play, for example, folks in the pews often see themselves as the audience, while the pastor and the liturgist and the musicians are simply actors on the stage." But reflecting on this phenomenon, Soren Kierkegaard, an early 20th century existential theologian, that's hard to say, switched this perspective around. He reminds us that in a service of worship, it is not the congregation who is the audience, but rather God is the audience. And the folks in the pews are the real actors, and the worship leaders are simply the directors. Therefore, the real test and mark of an effective service of worship, and for a church school class for that matter, is not so much what we say here as it is what we take with us and do beyond these walls throughout the rest of the week. And perhaps the most scathing criticism that could be leveled against any congregation is the old line, "After all is said and done, more is said than done." That is why charge and benediction at the close of our service of worship occasionally includes the admonition, "As this service of worship comes to a close, our service out in the world begins." Now, there's also wisdom that declares that what we say is not as important as what we do. For instance, we can't just tell our children and young people how to lead good lives. We have to show them by being good role models. And as parents, those of you who are parents of young children or have been parents of young children in the past are fully aware, we are being watched more by children and young people than we can even imagine. So all of this begs the question, as Christians, as followers of the ways of Jesus, what kind of an example are you setting at home, at work, at school, here at church, and with family, and with friends, perhaps most importantly, with complete strangers. For me, it is the real life syndrome of practice what you preach. This is how we prevent hypocrisy, which is one of the main complaints leveled at Christians, and a big reason why more and more people choose to have nothing to do with organized religion. That's why people are getting so tired of folks saying one thing and doing another. Willimon writes, "The world is quite right in judging the truth of the gospel on the basis of the sort of lives the gospel is able to produce. Do we really look like the God whom we praise here on Sunday mornings? Have our songs and prayers changed us, made us into that which we profess?" Well, that is the test, says James. And again, we already know that. We know that any sermon that is seen in deeds of love and justice is more effective than one that is only spoken and heard. Perhaps the best way I could summarize all of this is with the famous quote often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. "Preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words." In the book of James, we are reminded that the perfect law, the law of love that gives freedom and liberty, is something not so much to be studied, but rather lived out through our individual lives, and certainly in the life and ministry of this congregation. For in order for our faith to be real and authentic, it must be translated into deeds and to actions. And that's what James means when he writes later in the letter that faith without works is dead. We'll get into that in a couple of weeks. But the issue before us now then is this: what will you and I do with what has been said this morning and prayed and heard and sung throughout this service of worship? How will you put your faith into action later this very afternoon? What about tomorrow? Most of you will go back to work or your regular Monday routine. And what about the day after that? There's a story that following a service of worship one Sunday, a couple went to the exit to greet the pastor and said, "Pastor, that was a wonderful sermon." To which the preacher responded, "That has yet to be seen." Words and beliefs by themselves, while important, are never enough. Be doers of the word, and not merely hearers. Amen.